institutions of its time. Originally, he founded an institution in a small city near the Prussian border called Greiwin. And in that institution, he even had secular studies in the yeshiva. But later, that institution closed because of various reasons, and he moved to a town called Kelm, in not Chelm, which is a different connotation in Jewish legend, but Kelm, with a hard K. And in Kelm, he founded an institution. He did not call it a yeshiva. He called it the Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah was like an elementary school. Today, all nurseries are yeshivas, so that when you get up to the yeshiva level, there are no names left. But Reb Simcha Zissel was the master of understatement. He called his institution the Talmud Torah. And in the Talmud Torah, he had 40-year-old men that were still studying. But he only called it the Talmud Torah. And it was the prime example of Musar. Musar and Davening. Its Davening was world famous. In honesty, in deportment, in dress, in how people spoke to each other, in punctuality. The legends regarding the institution are also without end. But one legend is that a person left a package on a windowsill, and he came back 5 years later, and the package had been picked up and dusted underneath, etc., but the package was still there. And the other, I heard this from my Rebbe himself, that during the First World War, when the yeshiva in Kelm was driven from its home, and only a few of the heads still remained there, every morning, like the bell would ring, 9:15, the classroom bells would ring on time. And they would give the klop on the shtender when the time was for mincha, even though there was nobody there. But that was the punctuality of the matter. It combined in itself a great deal of German influence with Musar and superior people. The basic idea where there were superior people. And the Musar movement took hold in yeshivas. Rav Yisrael wanted it to take hold among the general classes of the Jewish people. It did not do so. It took hold in the Lithuanian yeshivas especially. And almost all the famous Lithuanian yeshivas, after a period of struggle, became Musar yeshivas. Slabodka, Mir, Telz, Kelm, Baranovich, Radin, all of them were Musar yeshivas. And one of the hallmarks of the Musar yeshiva was that a new person in the yeshiva, the Mashgiach, existed, whose task was not so much Torah knowledge in terms, as the Rosh Yeshiva would give the lecture, but rather in terms of Torah personality development. And in many of the Musar yeshivas, the Mashgiach was the most powerful person in the yeshiva, the one of the greatest influence. There were great, great Mashgichim. The Alter, Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel of Slabodka, Reb Yeruchim Leibovitz of Mir. There were many, many great Mashgichim. Again, in our time, our time is different. I think one of the reasons that our time is so different is because of the fact that we do not suffer from poverty. Musar goes very well in a poor society. In a wealthy society, people are more interested in money than they are in a poor society, strange as that may sound. I have a friend of mine who's been visiting from Eretz Yisrael for the past month here, and we've been, Baruch Hashem, at a number of weddings together. So I asked him in a facetious fashion, what's the difference between a wedding here and in Israel? Aside from the $80,000 for the flowers, what's the difference? So he said, here at a wedding, the main topic of conversation is money. You go from table to table, people talk only about money. He's talking about the men's section because it's separate seating. It's money. He said, in Israel, people don't talk about money. People need money. It's the big problem. It's the worst problem there. But he goes to Chasna and nobody talks.